When I was a youth pastor, I would normally have a young man, oftentimes in seminary, that would lead the singing for our youth group. And sometimes he would have favorites. And so I had a couple teens. They would always pick a song that no one knew. They didn't know either, just to watch that guy struggle trying to lead a song. And the same guy would do it over and over. I told him, either don't do favorites or don't call on those people that you know are going to sabotage you. So anyways, you all are very nice, Pastor Jerry, although he could probably lead any song in the hymn book, so it wouldn't be a problem. Well, this evening we're going to follow up from what we looked at this morning. We looked at some principles that we saw illustrated in Genesis chapter 24. Really, these are principles that can be found in many places in Scripture. And so we'll look at them a little more, as all of us at times have major decisions to make. And so as we go through life and have to make those decisions, we need some help. What does the Bible have to say about the major decisions of life? The first principle that we looked at this morning was that God's word should determine our direction. That's where it all begins, is knowing this book, obeying what we already know. And I've talked to many people who have maybe come to see me to get some counsel after things have gone very badly in their life. And as they talk about where they are and the situation in their life, oftentimes if they're a believer, they'll say, you know, I wasn't right with God when I made this decision in the first place. I wasn't walking with the Lord when I married this person, and when I moved here, or when I did this. And so there's such an important principle that if we're going in the right direction, that's as the Lord leads us. We saw this. I didn't point this out this morning, but the servant in Genesis 24 says, I, being on the way, the Lord led me. If the servant had decided not to follow the instructions of Abraham and to go his own place, he would have never found Rebekah. It was as he did what he knew he was to do that the Lord began to open doors, that the Lord providentially worked through circumstances to show his will. And so it's very important that prerequisite to knowing what God's will is obey what you already know and spend time in God's word. We could go to many scriptures that state this. I think of Joshua chapter 1, right before Joshua begins to lead the nation of Israel after Moses, he receives this instruction that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then God will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We want to be prosperous. We want to succeed in the journey. Well, it begins with God's word and following what God has commanded. Or another scripture would be Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. What do we know about that man? He's already going the wrong way. He's going the way of sinners. But who is the blessed man? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. In fact, did you see both of those texts say meditating day and night? And then it goes on to say, who is this person that is blessed by God, that is meditating God's word day and night? Well, he's like a tree planted by a river of water that's growing and bringing forth fruit in its season. His leaf will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Well, there's that word again, prosper, success. There's a connection between prospering in the way and meditating on God's word day and night. We shouldn't think that we're going to be prosperous and successful as we ignore the counsel of God's word. And so God's word needs to determine your direction. And so maybe you're saying, boy, I don't know what I should do. or I'm pursuing this direction in life, but what choice should I make? Well, I think prerequisite to making a decision is to say, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Obey what you know God has already said before you venture out into seeking His will on specific details for your life that are not given in God's Word. You won't find God's best if you're not on His path. So be on the path and be praying and be watching and be obedient, and God will lead you. Some of you are single, maybe looking for a spouse, hoping that the Lord will lead you to marriage. If that is will, I heard someone gave this advice. Just obey God. Run as fast as you can to Christ. And as you're running to Christ, look around. And maybe there's someone running as fast to Christ about the same speed that you are. Just join hands with them and you can run together for the rest of your life. Well, that's the finding the right person, is being on the right way, being on that path. So let God's Word determine your direction. And secondly, we looked at another principle: prayerfully prepare for the journey. You could turn to Psalm 37. I'm going to use a few different verses from this psalm. We won't be doing an exposition of the entire psalm, but Psalm 37, verse 23 tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So here is a man who delights to know God's will, who wants to go in the way of the Lord, but he wants the Lord to order his steps. And so he prayerfully prepares. And so that means you need to pray. If you're an individual seeking God's will, well, pray. If you're a family seeking God's will about an important decision, then pray. As a church family, we need to pray that God would lead our church in the way that He wants us to go. And as we pray, we also make plans. We should prepare. There's nothing wrong with looking ahead and making plans. In fact, that's a good thing to do. Well, how do you prepare? How do you make plans? Maybe you have an opportunity for a new job, maybe even a change of career. Well, how do you know? How do you prepare for that? Well, I think there's one important principle that can really help us is get godly counsel. Proverbs tells us that in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. One reason why a multitude of counselors is safety is because sometimes we see an opportunity and we're blinded to the ramifications of making such choice. Again, we could talk about someone looking for a spouse, and you see that person and your heart skips a beat. And you're in love. But maybe you're not thinking clearly. As they say, love is blind. And well, you need a multitude of counselors. Okay, it's too late after the fact when you've gotten married. So seek a multitude of counselors who can be objective. And that could be in a number of decisions that you would make. And so you're preparing for the journey, and such an important part of that preparation is seeking godly counsel. That's one reason why the Bible tells us that the Christian life isn't a lone ranger lifestyle. It's one that you live in community, the local church. Why? Part of that is you have brothers and sisters in Christ that you can bring in on the decisions that you have to make. I was talking to someone a few months ago who had made a lot of bad, really bad decisions in his life. And as we were talking, I said he wasn't a part of our church. And I said, well, what did your pastor have to say when you made that decision? Or what did the other people in your church? And he said, oh, they didn't know about it. In fact, this was about marriage. They didn't even know you were going to get married. Well, no, I didn't really tell them. I said, well, if you would have told, they would have said, you know, you're marrying an unbeliever. This is something that you shouldn't do. And they could have saved you a lot of heartache. And they would have. It's so important to be a part of a community. And so that community of believers will help in our preparation, in our plans. So we go to the Lord and lay out our plans and say, Lord, these are yours. I submit them to you. But you talk to a brother or sister in Christ and say, hey, these are some plans that I have. What do you think of this? I've been praying about this. Do you see any problems? You know why we don't get counsel? Because we don't want to hear that our plans aren't good, right? Or we only go to a counselor that's going to tell us, yeah, that's all right. We don't want to hear any dissenting view. But if we're going to people that love us and care for us and that are godly people, this is exactly what we should be doing. And so prayerfully prepare for the future. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So as a church, I talked about this morning about some decisions that we may need to be making in the future as the Lord continue to bring people in our church. What should we do? Should we look at trying to plant another church? Should we look at expanding and purchasing some more property? We have some important decisions that we need to make. Well, what should we do? Well, we should be praying. And then we should get input. And actually, next Sunday night, we're going to have a brief information meeting at the conclusion of the service just to get some input and to discuss some things that to say, Lord, what may you have for us in the future? Because all we want to do is what God wants us to do. And the Holy Spirit resides in us. And so as we pray, as we look into His Word, we look to Him to lead us in unity together. There's a third principle that we looked at that connects with the second principle, and it is this: trust the Lord, not your plans. See, this is sometimes what happens. Maybe we even pray about a situation and we make some plans, but we get into our agenda and then we remain inflexible and we put all of our faith. Not praying anymore. Okay, now I've made the decision. And we forget God. We were very intense in prayer when we had to make the choice. But now that we've made the choice, we're relying on ourselves. We're trusting in our own understanding. And if you read through the book of Proverbs, this is the characteristic of the fool. Because the fool is right in his own eyes. The fool always knows what is best. The fool goes along his own plans, where the believer who is walking in the Spirit remains submissive to the Lord. And even with well laid out plans, whether it's a church, I hope we as a church would never decide to do something that is completely against God's word. But what if we make a decision and as we pray or as circumstances change, the Lord is altering us in a different direction? Well, our faith is in the Lord. We're trusting in Him, not in our plans. Let's go, if you're in Psalm 37, let's look at a few other verses here. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So this verse is about trusting in the Lord. It says, commit your way to the Lord. What does that mean? Actually, that word commit is used elsewhere in the Old Testament of actually Jacob. It's used in Genesis, actually, of Jacob rolling a stone off of the opening of a well. That's the literal idea there. The idea of commit is kind of this idea of rolling onto. In other words, take your agenda and your plans and your dreams and everything and roll them onto the Lord. Put them on Him. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will bring it to pass. We're looking for His agenda, not our own. So we trust in the Lord, not in our plans. Proverbs tells us that the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Should a soldier prepare for battle? Yeah, should he prepare his horse? Should he have a weapon? Should he be trained and ready? Oh, yes, lots of preparation. It would be foolish not to. But where does safety come from? All the while, he should be trusting in the Lord to protect him. And so we should be trusting in the Lord and not our plans. Sometimes the Lord does lead us to go in a direction and then he closes the door. That happened with Paul, remember? Paul was on a mission to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit prevented him. Well, this wasn't a bad desire that Paul had. In fact, this was the way that the Lord was leading. But the Lord changed direction. The Lord opened a different door of opportunity. And so Paul humbly followed the Lord's leading. Abraham's servant was sure that Rebekah was the one. I mean, after she passed his test, she said, "Can I give you a drink? And I'll give water for all your camels." He thought, "Well, this can't be a coincidence. This must be the Lord." And then he asked what family she's from. She's one of Abraham's relatives. This is all working out. But what does he do? The servant waits on the Lord. There's still more obstacles in the way that the Lord's going to have to clear. Will the family release her? Will Rebekah be willing to go? Well, you don't read the next verse. So the servant kidnapped Rebekah and brought him to the promised land. Okay? Well, hey, it's the Lord's will. Then why worry about her family anymore? Let's just get things done here. She's the one. No, he had to wait. And remember, he tells the family, "Hey, let me know if my journey is going to be successful. And if not, then let me know so I can get on. I'll go to the left. I'll go to the right. I'll apparently this is not God's will." And so we need to remain flexible as we trust the Lord, not our plans. Number four, I think it's so important for us as we go through the journey of life. It is easy for us to get distracted. And so this fourth principle is don't get distracted from your mission. We talked about the servant, how he had this feast set before him. And he said, "No, I'm not going to eat until I tell you why I'm here. I'm on a mission here." And he wouldn't be delayed. He wouldn't be deterred. He was there for a purpose. Well, God has a purpose for our lives. And yes, we have major decisions of life. Who to marry? What career we should have? Where should we live? What church should be that we should commit to? All of these important decisions. But it's easy for us to get distracted. And there's a lot of distractions in our world, isn't there? Let's go back to Psalm 37. Look at verses 1 and 2. A warning here. "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." It's easy to get distracted either by worrying and being fearful of those that do evil that deter us from following God's will, or becoming envious of them. Have you ever thought, "Hey, those people, they don't serve the Lord and they seem to be happy. Just think of all the money I would have if I didn't give to the Lord's work. I could have bought a new car this year. I could have done something else. Or look at my neighbors. They seem to be fine." And we can envy. We can look to celebrities that way and be envious of those that do iniquity. Look at verse 2. This is a reminder. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. I mowed my lawn yesterday. Okay? It's that grass is pretty easily cut. And those grass clippings are worthless after that, unless you put them in the garden, maybe. They're going to be cut down. They're not going to last. They're going to wither away. Those who know the Lord, though, are going to live forever. And so don't envy those without Christ. Don't get distracted from your mission. Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you want to turn there, probably a lot of you could quote these verses by memory. They teach us about God's will. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then it says, so we present, and because of the mercies of God in our lives, we present our lives as a sacrifice to the Lord. But then verse 2 says, but don't get distracted. You are a living sacrifice to the Lord. Do not be conformed to this world. Well, what is the world? Apostle John tells us all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These things are not of the Father, but of the world. And then he says, and the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. What's the worst part about living for the world? It's passing away. It's not going to last. And those who live for this world are not going to last. The world is passing away and the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Well, that's pretty important to do the will of God, isn't it? Those who do the will of God are the ones who abide forever. Romans 12:2, coming back to here, tells us also about the will of God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what's the result? That you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So how do we discern that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Well, we have to have a mind that is renewed. A mind that is being transformed. Well, how do we have that transformed mind? It doesn't come from the world. It comes from this book, a mind that is being renewed. It's that renewing our mind, very similar to what we saw in Joshua 1:8 and Psalm 1, meditating day and night. Renewing your mind. But don't be conformed to this world. That word conform has the idea of squeezing into a mold. You put maybe things, a jello or something into a mold. Whatever the mold is, that's what comes out. Well, this world has a mold and it wants to squeeze you into it. Don't conform. Don't be distracted by all the things the world has to offer. We live in a society of advertisements. I mean, you can't go anywhere without seeing or hearing or watching an advertisement. And you know what the theme of every advertisement is? You. You deserve something better. You deserve this. You are better than the car that you're driving right now. And for only this much down and this much a month for the next 10 years of your life, whatever, you can have what you deserve. And everyone will look at you and they'll think, wow. And after a while, being bombarded over and over and over again with these commercials that tell us that we deserve something better, that we should do something different, we start to believe it. Yeah, I am better. I should live for this. I should just live to please my life. And we give in. And we take a detour. And we're distracted from the mission, from what God has called us to do. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go and make disciples of all the nations. These are our mission. Don't get distracted. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. This teaches that same truth. We've looked at Hebrews 11 a lot in our study of Genesis, because many of the characters in Genesis show up in this chapter about faith, of men and women who evidence faith by obeying God. And so this is the conclusion. All these people who live by faith and look to God, living by faith and not by sight. In verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these people that live by faith, these witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we're in this race. We're to run this race with endurance. We're to keep our eyes on the prize, which is the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. And so what does the writer of Hebrews say? Don't be distracted. Don't be weighted down. Lay aside everything that will hinder you in the race. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside every sin which ensnares, and run the race with endurance. You know, in the Olympics, when you watch someone running a race, I mean, they are unencumbered. They normally even have clothing that is just tight clothing, and they don't want anything shave off a fraction. They want to shave off a fraction of a second, because normally races are determined in a fraction of a second. And so they don't want anything to do that. Now, there can be sin that would ensnare us, but it also says a weight. A weight seems to be morally neutral. As the old preacher said, what should you have in your hand as you run a race? A jug of water or a jug of whiskey? Someone may say, well, the jug of whiskey, that could certainly be a moral problem. That could be a hindrance. But do you see a runner carrying a big jug of water either? No, that's going to be a weight. You're not going to win if you're lugging with you a big jug. Whether it's morally neutral or morally damaging, it's an obstacle to the mission. And so we need to look at our lives, examine, and not be distracted from the mission that God has given us. Saying yes to following Jesus Christ means saying no to a lot of other things. Saying no to sin, of course. Saying no to anything that God has prohibited. But it's not limited to that. It means saying no to a lot of other things that may not be morally wrong, but are a distraction to the mission. We read this morning from James 4 that our life is a vapor that appears for just a short time and then vanishes away. We don't have much time. Christ has given us a mission, and there's not much time to be diligent in that mission. So we can be distracted with leisure and television and surfing the internet and doing all kinds of things that will not last an eternity. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with some amusement, some rest and relaxation, some entertainment. But we have been called on a mission, and we need to be faithful, not being distracted. And then we looked at a final principle where the servant along the way, along the journey, he saw the Lord open doors. He saw the Lord provide. He saw the Lord answer prayer. He saw God's leading in his life. And at each turn, as he observed what God was doing, he was overwhelmed. And he took time right there to bow down and worship the Lord. I mean, it looks in the text that right there in front of Rebekah, he bowed down and worshiped the Lord. Right there in front of her brother and father, he knelt down to the ground and worshiped the Lord. As we are on this journey of life, as we're seeking the Lord's will, we're going to see the Lord do some wonderful things. Many of you, maybe all of you, could share testimony. Those of you who have been saved for many years could say, oh, God directed me here. Oh, it was amazing. Wow, what a blessing as the Lord provided this need, as He directed us this way. And you can look back and see all of these things and just worship the Lord. But we need to realize that we often think of destinations. But really, what is the destination for us? It's worship. It's God's glory. That's what we will do for all eternity. God made us for His glory. So don't lose sight of looking at destinations and not worship in the process. Because that's what our lives are all about, giving worship to the Lord. Look back at Psalm 37, and with this we'll close. Psalm 37 and verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Does your heart have desires? Do you have hopes and dreams? Well, delight yourself in the Lord. You delight in the Lord. You worship the Lord. You find your joy and contentment in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Make worship the focus, and the Lord will take care of other things. Kind of like what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You know what I found? When you spend time delighting in the Lord, it's not that your desire God then gives you. It's that as you delight in the Lord changes your heart. As you are looking to the Lord, as you are worshiping Him, there's a transformation in your heart. And so what the Lord wants you to do and what your heart desires to do is the same thing. There's a transformation that goes on in our lives, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So worship along the way. Find your contentment in the Lord. As you look at your life, you may say, boy, this is something that I would like to do. Young people, you may say, this is a career that I think maybe the Lord wants me to pursue. Or single people, I really think the Lord would have me be married one day. Well, those are all things to be praying about. Those are things to be preparing for. But don't be discontent until you get your way. Find your joy in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Many of you have decisions to make. Maybe right now you're contemplating an important decision. Some of you don't anticipate any important decision, but one is around the corner. You're going to have to make. So what will you do? How will you make that important decision? Well, let God's word determine your direction. Be walking in the right direction now, and God will lead you along the path in the specific details of where you should go. Prayerfully prepare for the future. Be preparing for what you think may be God's plan for your life, all the while asking the Lord to put roadblocks in the way of your plan in order to show you His plan. And then trust the Lord, not your plans. Don't get distracted as you go along this journey. Focus on what you know the Lord has for you. And through it all, bring glory to the Lord. Worship Him. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. We're not going to sing a song or anything at the end here, but I want you to just examine your own heart. If you want to be in God's will in the future, it starts by being in God's will in the present. If you're always in God's will in the present, you'll look back and see how God led you all the way. If you need to confess a sin right now, then do that. But maybe right now you just need to say, Lord, I need your help. I need your wisdom. Maybe you need to go to a trusted Christian friend who could give you some godly counsel before you make a decision that's going to have ramifications. And whatever the situation of your life, let God's word be your compass and let the Lord be your guide. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time as a church family that we've been able to spend together today. We're thankful for your word that is so helpful to us. You and your grace have given us a written record of law, of instruction. You have revealed yourself to us that we may know you. And Father, as your people, we do want to do your will. Would you guide us? Would you reveal to us the next step? Would you use your word, other godly people, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to lead us in every detail of our lives so that we can be pleasing to you? And Father, there's many here that probably have regrets. That at a time in their life, they made some very foolish decisions and they're still reaping the consequences. But we're thankful for your forgiveness. And we're thankful that it's never too late to begin following your will now. So even as we may have regrets of the past, help us in the present to look to you. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight as we trust you with our future. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good night.